We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the they're doing. Do you understand that?
Now back to the Pete McMurray Show.
Illinois Congressman Darren LaHood sits on the House Intelligence Committee. He had advanced knowledge of the recent bombings in Iraq. He is also my cousin, and he joins the show. Cousin, I get that there are things that you can't talk about, so feel free to say they're classified, or you can share them if you'd like on this show.
Absolutely, Pete. Great to be on with you.
Let's talk about the strikes, first of all. You had advance notice, is that right?
Well, the Intelligence Committee, which I serve on, we got notice beforehand. There was a notification that went out to our committee, and then I got back to D.C. on Monday, and then we've had multiple briefings this week within the Intelligence Committee in what's called our SCIF, which is our secured location.
Well, the president said he would give Iraq 2 weeks, and then he sends the B-2s like 2 or 3 days later. What triggered it?
Well, if you remember, the president wanted to negotiate with Iran, and he gave a 60-day window 2 months ago, and he sent his envoy there, Steve Witkoff, to the country of Oman, where Steve met with the Iranian officials there, and they had 2 or 3 meetings, and he said, essentially, you have 60 days to begin to wind down your nuclear plan. And that, of course, didn't happen. They didn't come up with a plan. On day 61 is when the Israelis went in and decimated the air capacity of Iran. And of course, the Israelis did a remarkable job in terms of their penetration and sophisticated attacks within Iran, which no one thought could happen, kind of cleared the field for our stealth bombers to go in. And ultimately, the president made the decision that he had to rid the world of a nuclear threat from Iran. Now, was there risk involved with that? Of course. And the president has to look out for the safety and security for the U.S., and the threats that a nuclear Iran posed. And in the end, he made the right decision, in my view, and went through the due diligence that you're supposed to go through.
We're getting conflicting reports about how much damage was actually done to the site. What is your take on the conflicting messages we're receiving in the media?
First of all, I don't think we're going to know for sure for a little while here. However, if you look at the 6 different bunker bombs that were dropped and the tactical and precision nature of these and where they went in at. I mean, these things go down upwards to 20 stories into the ground. There's multiple reports that show that the vast majority, and this is public reporting, of the nuclear capabilities have been destroyed and set back. The one thing that I don't think we know yet is the enriched uranium, which of course is used to perfect a nuclear weapon, there was a lot of enriched uranium. Whether some of that was moved to another location beforehand, I think there's some speculation on that. I don't think we'll know. But again, I take the president at his word, what he said at the press conference, that they've completely and totally obliterated the sites. But it'll take a little while to know if that's been confirmed.
You're talking about the 880 pounds of enriched uranium that was believed to be at Fordow, but we've all seen the satellite pictures of the trucks that were lined up the days before. Now, Iran says they were able to move it out. U.S. intelligence says, nope, we got it all. So we're in the middle. We don't really know.
I would not trust Iran on this. If you've listened to their propaganda within Iran, I mean, they had a parade saying they won the conflict. So, I mean, it goes to show the level of, manipulation and propaganda that this regime has put in place. And that's part of the problem. I mean, in the end, the Ayatollah wanted a bomb more than he wanted peace and paid the consequences for that. And moving forward, I mean, I hope if the regime values self-preservation, that it gives up its nuclear ambitions and stands down. And I think the president, the ceasefire that is now holding, hopefully this leads to talks and a move in the right direction.
They launched some missiles on Monday towards our bases. It did not do anything. Did they do that just to save face, Iran?
Of course. And they gave us advance notice of that, which says a lot, because they needed that for political cover back home. But it goes to the point that, when you have religious zealots and these mullahs that have ruled Iran for 49 years, I mean, they have manipulated their people in many ways. Now, the president has said, he doesn't necessarily want regime change, but if that happens because of this, I mean, Iran, in many ways, is a sophisticated country, very educated population, smart. They've contributed a lot to the history of the world, but they've had terrible governance under this regime that they've had in place. And so I hope there's a mechanism that we can change the direction of Iran. But clearly, this is not Iraq. This is not going to war. This was strictly a strategic and tactical initiative to take out their nuclear weapons.
They are the number one state sponsor of terror. Are you worried about them activating any terror cells around the world on the DL? I mean, these strikes could also motivate radicals that hate the United States. Is that a concern for you?
Well, it's always a concern. Absolutely. And we're on notice at every level in the United States to seek out any of those cells that are out there. However, I will just say this. I mean, Iran has been significantly weakened over the last year here, starting with the taking out of Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, that was funded almost exclusively by Iran. They've eliminated Hezbollah for the most part in southern Lebanon. What they've done to the Houthis in Yemen, what's happened to the Shia proxies in Iraq, funded solely by the Iranian regime. Assad was only in power in Syria because of the Iranian mullahs. He is now obviously gone, and they have a new government there. So Iran is in a much weakened state now. Doesn't mean they can't engage in terrorism, because they've had a history of doing that. But between what the IDF and the Mossad have done for Israel, and now what we've done, we've made the world safer, in my view.
The White House said that it wants to stop sharing intelligence. Does that mean stop sharing it with the media, stop sharing it with Congress as a whole? What does that cover?
Yeah, so this is part of the problem. The Gang of Eight, which is basically the leadership in the Congress, was briefed over the weekend on everything that happened. There was a leak that came out that only could have happened because of that briefing. And so the White House has said, if we're going to have presumably members of the Gang of Eight, and people have speculated in open source media that was the leader of the Democrats, leader Jeffers, that leaked some of that information. The White House has said, we're not going to share information if you're going to leak this. And they shouldn't do that. There's criminal liability for leaking classified information, whoever does that. And so that's why they're not going to continue to share information at the level that they can if people are going to leak this information.
I mean, I don't want to sound contrarian, but is that constitutional?
It is. There is a briefing where the CIA director and Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, who also is our NSC director, they are briefing the Senate, bipartisan. So there is still information going on, but there is going to be a reluctance if there are leaks that go on of classified information.
Our guest is my cousin, Illinois Congressman Darren LaHood. And I say my cousin because you give me credibility, Darren. Okay. Hey, I want to run through the timeline last Friday, because it just amazes me, because we were all watching Whitman Air Force Base in Missouri, and the B-2s took off at midnight. This group was spotted over the Pacific towards Guam, but these were a decoy. The main group of seven B-2s flew undetected 18 hours nonstop to Iran. They refueled in the air along the way. When they entered Iranian airspace, they were joined by American fighter jets to defend against any missiles or planes, which didn't show up. And then the B-2s dropped 14 bunker buster bombs on Fordo and the other facility. And a third was bombarded with missiles from a U.S. submarine. Now,
I'm aware of some of that. There's some of it that I can't comment on,
which he can't talk about. But my point is, you knew all of this was going to happen. Are you in Washington? Are you just living your life, holding this and waiting to see what happened? Where are you at this time?
Let me just back up. Part of our responsibility and obligation and the law under our work on the Intelligence Committee is that we cannot divulge or share this information with anybody. There was a number of briefings last week in the Intelligence Committee through our SCIF process, where we're in a room, others that are briefing us on what could or may happen. When the actual event happened, there was a pre-notification that went out to the members. We cannot discuss any of this unless we're in a SCIF. Now, When I'm in Illinois, there are multiple locations where I can go to a SCIF and get a briefing. In D.C., obviously, we have our intelligence committee within the Capitol where we meet at. And so any of the classified information can only be put forth in a SCIF.
I'm happy to hear that it's all taking place in a SCIF and not over Signal. I'm not going to lie. I'm still annoyed about that, and I wish people still cared.
Well, can you explain a SCIF to people?
Sure. SCIF is an acronym. It's a secured location, secured classified location.
It's like when you watch Scandal and they all have to go in the box and like there's no phones can get in and no one can like steal your Wi-Fi signal in there. It's like so secure.
Well, if you think about the Situation Room in the White House, that is a SCIF. That's the ultimate SCIF. And a SCIF is basically where there's no electronics, so you can't bring in your earbuds or your key fob or obviously your phone or a laptop. So when we meet within the SCIF, that's essentially the Intelligence Committee. There's one on the Senate, one on the House side, and we go in there. It's a secured location where you can have conversations about sensitive matters, classified matters, and have an open conversation about these things. It's the only way to protect what's going on. And so there are multiple locations around the country where you can do that, military bases, some of our FBI offices.
Yep.
And so those are the areas we go to get that information.
Should we be worried about Iran turning to Russia for help? Didn't they have an agreement a few months ago?
Well, as President Trump said to Vladimir Putin, I don't need your help in Iran or the Middle East. I need your help in Ukraine in solving that. Russia is in a very weakened position. They've lost close to 800,000 people in Ukraine, soldiers. I'm not worried about, they have enough to deal with Ukraine right now, in their own country. So I know there's been some rhetoric used by Russia and China and others, but because this was basically a 12-day conflict, I'm not that worried that this is going to, the aperture of any of this is going to get any larger.
That was my last question. Where is China in all of this? Because they were getting oil from Iran.
Yeah, well, China does not have the capability to help out Iran in this situation. Again, what I like about what President Trump did, it was strategic, it was targeted, it was limited to taking out the nuclear facilities. And now let's hope this ceasefire holds. And ultimately, let's bring Iran to the table. Let's have negotiations and let's see if we can make progress.
Illinois Congressman Darren LaHood. Cousin, thank you for your time. I know you're busy. I really appreciate you coming on the air with us.
Hey, thanks, Pete. Always good to be on with you, brother, okay?
All right. See you, man. I'll text you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
This cannot continue. There will be either peace or there will be tragedy for Iran far greater than we have witnessed over the last 8 days. But if peace does not come quickly, we will go after those other targets with precision, speed, and skill.
More of the Pete McMurray Show next.